So yes, it's our family service this morning, so the young people and the children are staying with us. So if you have got young children, there is a play space that has been made in the back if they get restless, where they can go and play out there. So welcome. I'm going to need some volunteers. Like I said, it's a family service. And what we usually do during the family services is the teaching curriculum, which the young people and the children are kind of studying during the family service, we kind of give you an insight, or we'll talk about what's happening next. So, kids, are there any kids here? What have you been doing in Sunday school? I'm going to need a runner. Can I have a volunteer to be a runner for me? And I'll swap this mic. Thank you. So, we've got some hands up. What have you been learning in Sunday school?
I've been drawing.
Been drawing, praise God.
About the 12 sons of Jacob.
The 12 sons of Jacob, that's very good. Can anyone remember what you learned before you learned about the 12 sons of Jacob? We've got a hand up at the back. Anyone remember the previous session before the 12 sons of Jacob?
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau, that's very good. All right, let's go even further back. Can you remember what you learned before you learned about Jacob and Esau? This is where I'm looking at the youth who are not putting their hand up, and I'm like, you got the same curriculum. There's one hand up way back there, one of my young people. What did we do before Jacob and Esau?
I think we're learning about Abraham.
Abraham. Yeah. That's good. So we're looking through the characters of the Bible as a way to kind of teach young people the big picture, the big biblical narrative. So where we've got up to at the moment, actually, is Joseph. So that's what we're up to. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. But I'm going to need some volunteers. Could you guys do me a favor and bring that table to the center? I'm going to need four families, which will be a parent and a child, because we're going to find out how much you know about this topic that we're going to be looking at this morning. And there are prizes. So, can you turn it the other way around? Four volunteers, a parent and a child. So, young people, if you want to be involved, you need to grab a parent. So grab your parent. They're easy questions. They're easy Bible questions. So you guys can kind of... Thank you. Let's see if that works. Ah. Let's not put that up just yet. Okay, parent and a child. Okay, so we have one parent and a child. So you can be on the green team. Let me move. I'll move this forward just so that you don't get on there. Oh, we have another parent and a child. You can be team red. And then you can pick a team blue. So we need one more team, red team. Come on, parents. You know your Bible. Round of applause. Thank you. So if you move in, if I move that a little bit this way, move that a little bit. So green team, red team, blue team, yellow team. It's very easy. I ask you a question. Think about it. Some questions have options, some don't. When you know, if you think you know the answer, you push the buzzer, okay? If you answer it correctly, you get 2 points. But if you answer it wrong, you lose 2 points. So you can't just keep spamming the buzzer, because you keep spamming it and you don't know the answer, you're going to lose points. Now, you'll notice that it says that each team, how many points does each team have? 6 points. If you get to zero, you will win a lemon. I'm serious. There's a bag in there with lemons in it. So you will win a lemon. The point is, don't spam the button, okay? So if you just, Shalanzi, if I can just, yeah, just... Okay, so are you guys ready? You guys read your Bible every day, so you know all the answers. So that's not a problem. Like I said, we're talking about Joseph. And one of the things that Joseph was known for was his dreams. And so I'm going to be asking you questions about dreams. Because the Bible has a lot to say about dreams, actually. But your first question, you're not supposed to look, that's for the congregation. Your first question, how many dreams are recorded in the Bible? If you know the answer, you push the buzzer. How many dreams are recorded in the Bible? You get 3 seconds to answer. All right. We'll give you some options. Are there 12 dreams, 21 dreams, or 112 dreams recorded in the Bible? Oh, we have a buzzer. So playing for 2 points. Oh, I'm so sorry, 121. So are there 12, 21, or 121 dreams recorded in the Bible? 21 is correct. So you can write down plus 2 points. Okay, next question. How many dreams are recorded in the Old Testament? How many dreams? Is it 15, 27, or 39? Oh, she's on a roll. Oh, who went first? Okay. All right. How many dreams are recorded in the Old Testament? 15 is correct. So you get 2 points. All right. Next question. Which Old Testament book contains the most amount of... There are no options for this one. I probably shouldn't have allowed the Sunday school teacher to be on the panel, right? Wait, what's the answer? What was the question? Which Old Testament book contains the most amount of dreams? That is not the correct answer. We did have Blue go first. We have to give it over here. Genesis is correct. So you get, because you answered the question wrong, you lose 2 points, by the way. So every time you get a question wrong, you have to write -2. Now you have the red pen that allows you to. Okay, next question. Oh, that was the correct answer, Genesis. So Genesis has the most amount of dreams recorded in the Old Testament, but how many dreams are recorded in the book of Genesis? We do have options. Oh, you pushed the button before you saw the options. I'll give you the options, but you have to answer it. Is it 30, 20, or 10? 10 is correct. So that's +2 points. Okay, next question. What is the first dream recorded in the... Sunday school teacher, don't even let me finish the question. All right. What is the first dream recorded in the Bible? There are options for this one, so you have to get it right. If not, you lose 2 points. You said Joseph first, and then said Abraham. Both are wrong, so you lose 2 points. You lose 2 points. So, blue team, you push the buzzer. It's still... I can hear the buzzer going. You push the buzzer. Okay. -2. Anyone want to venture? Because we've had two, so I can go to the actual answer. Oh, we've got... Not Noah. It's -2. Okay, huh? No. I'm going to open it up to the congregation. Where's my runner went and sat down. What was the question? What's the first dream recorded in the Bible? We got one over here. First dream recorded in the Bible.
Was it Adam?
No.
Oh.
Congregation, we've got a hand up there. Femi's got his hand up. Birthday boy. First dream recorded in the Bible. No Google allowed. Put your phone away.
I think it might be Jacob.
Put your phone away.
It might be Jacob.
We've had Jacob already. One from the back. I'll take one more. Oh, I'll take one over here as well.
I honestly don't. The number of stars in the sky?
No. I get what you're saying. That's Joseph's dream, so it wasn't. Last one, Uncle Babs. Huh? No. The first dream that was recorded in the Bible was Abimelech's dream. Everyone's going, who's Abimelech? Who, like, which, who's Abimelech? Which Bible are you reading? So let me tell you the story. Abraham's wife, Sarah, was very beautiful. And he thought that when the king of that place saw his wife, she would take him. So he lied and said, it's my sister. And then God appeared to Abimelech in a dream and said, if you touch that woman, she's a married woman. So it was Abimelech's dream. Okay, yeah, that's fine. We can allow swaps. He's the same family. So that's they need to employ more. So playing for points. Okay, next question. In the Bible, which two people with the same name had dreams? Joseph. Which Joseph and which Joseph? That's right. 2 points. So yes, Joseph, the son of Jacob, and Joseph of Nazareth, husband of Mary. You guys are doing well. So Kay, you've been swapped in because you need some points. So how it works is you push that buzzer and then you have to answer the question correctly. You answer it wrong, you lose 2 points. All right. What is the last dream recorded in the Bible? You pushed it. John, not the correct answer. You lose 2 points. She moves the buzzer away. What was the last dream recorded in the Bible? We have a buzzer. What's your answer? Paul is incorrect. Okay, here's a chance. But if you get it, no pressure. But if you get it wrong, you lose 2 points. So you can push the buzzer. Any takers? Should I take it to the congregation? All right, he said I should pass. I can't comment on that yet. Congregation, my Bible people, what was the last dream? No, had the last dream recorded in the Bible? All right, runner, we've got Noel over there. John didn't actually have a dream. So I'm making a distinction between a vision and a dream. So visions don't count because you're not asleep. Any takers?
John in Revelations?
No, we just had that. It's not John. Anyone else? We've got one up here. Who had the last dream recorded in the Bible?
Cornelius.
Who was it?
Cornelius.
It wasn't Cornelius. Cornelius didn't have a dream.
Peter.
Peter had a vision. And I'm making a distinction between dreams and visions. Because what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Dream, you're asleep. Vision, you're not asleep. Okay, yes?
Was it Joseph?
No, it wasn't Joseph. You guys need to read your Bible, you know. Okay, it was Pontius Pilate's wife. You knew that. That you were just about to say it. So we don't know the details of the dream, but she had a very disturbing dream, and she then went to Pilate and said, "Don't have anything to do with this man because he's innocent." So she went to her husband and said, "I had a dream." And she told him the dream. Okay, we've got only a few more. Okay, so now we're in the New Testament. So, how many dreams are recorded in the New Testament? We have a buzzer. So, options, you have options. Are they 6 dreams, 9 dreams? Where we have a buzzer, you can come next. How many dreams in the New Testament? Nine dreams is incorrect. I have to go to second buzzer. Six dreams is correct. Oh, did you press that? Sunday school teacher. Okay, you have to bang on the table. All right, next question. Okay, next question. How many dreams are recorded in the book of Luke? Is it zero, is it three, or is it six? Yes, yellow team. Zero. Why'd you buzz? I didn't say it was incorrect. It's correct. So you get 2 points. There are no dreams recorded in the book of Luke. Isn't that interesting? Okay, hold for the next question. Next question. Which New Testament book contains the most dreams? Go on, Kay. Oh, red team. Matthew, that's interesting. It is correct. 2 points. The book of Matthew contains the most amount of dreams in the New Testament. Okay. How many dreams are recorded in the book of Matthew? You have options. Is it zero, is it three, or is it six? Yellow team, one. Three is incorrect, so you lose 2 points. Oh, I have to let the green team. I'll let the green team. Six is correct. Green team, 2 points for the green team. Okay, last question, then bonus, but everyone's got points, so. Who had the most dreams recorded in the Bible?
Joseph.
Which Joseph? See, we had two Josephs. So, I'll come back to you. You can confer, because you said Joseph. Which Joseph are you referring to? Are you talking about Joseph in the Old Testament or Joseph in the New Testament? Are you talking about Joseph in the Old Testament or Joseph in the New Testament? Are you talking about Joseph in the Old Testament or the New Testament, Kay?
The Old Testament.
Which Joseph? Joseph in the New Testament. How many? Okay, this is your bonus question. This is your bonus question. How many dreams did Joseph in the New Testament have? There are no options because it's a bonus question, so you don't get options. So yellow team, and it's a four-point question because it's a bonus. Wait, yellow team have to answer. How many dreams did Joseph in the New Testament have? So you lose 3. You lose 2 points. What were you gonna say? 4 is correct. So you get 2 points. He had 4 dreams. So, he has a dream because he's thinking of divorcing Mary. So the angel comes and says, don't do it. Then he has a dream that they should run to Egypt because they're trying to kill him. Then he has another dream that they should go back. But then when they get back, he has another dream that they shouldn't stay in Bethlehem because Herod's son is reigning and he's still looking for the child. He should go and live in Nazareth. That is correct. So, can you total up your scores, please?
Did you say the bonus was 4?
The bonus points was 4 points, yes. So quick maths. I know that you guys have been keeping track. So what scores do they have? They started with 6. All right, parents. So you started with 6. So what's your total? What's your total? No, you add that. Because that's what you started with. Okay, so write your total big there for me. That's 8. Wow. What's your total? You need to write it for me so I can see it. And your total is?
4.
Okay, so yellow team have 4 points. Blue team have 4 points. Green team have 8 points. You see, if you don't answer any questions, you don't lose any points. So that's how you stay in the game. You just don't answer any questions. You don't have to lose any points. But the red team have 14 points. So you guys stormed it. Round of applause, please. I got some prizes for you. My runner, if you could grab that bag and you can distribute some prizes as you go to your seats. So nobody actually, like, I did actually have a lemon in case a team didn't have any points. Yeah. The winning team wins the big prize. That's okay. You're welcome. Okay, round of applause. You can make your way back to your seat. That's okay. Amen. And if you guys could give me a hand with the table, thank you. Thank you. Amen. I do find it fascinating that there are just so many dreams in the Bible. Let me skip that. I do find it amazing. Throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible, God has always spoken to people through dreams. And one of the things that's amazing about it is it doesn't matter if they're young, it doesn't matter if they're old, it doesn't matter if they're men, it doesn't matter if they're women. What's even more amazing is it doesn't even matter if they're God's covenant people. He'd speak to Abimelech, he'd speak to Nebuchadnezzar. He would speak to people who are not actually in kingdom covenant with him. On the one hand, it suggests to me that God really does want to communicate with you. So that during the noise of the day and the hustle and bustle and he just can't get your attention, guess what he's going to do? He's going to wait for you to be asleep. And then he's going to come and see if your spirit is receptive. Now, I have to give a big disclaimer. It doesn't mean that every dream that you have is from God. You've just eaten too much cheese sometimes. Don't eat cheese before you go to bed. But yeah, I find it really interesting. I just random question. How many of you remember the dreams that you have? Because there's some people that remember their dreams, and there's some people that are like, I don't even think I dream at all. How many of you, like, the people that remember their dreams? How many of you, like, your dreams are actually quite vivid? Like, they're quite clear and quite vivid. How many of you are like, when I'm out, I'm out. And when the alarm clock kicks in, that's when I come back to life. Do you know what I mean? Guys, you just don't remember your dreams. It's really interesting. Just want to touch on this passage. This is Joel chapter 2. So I just need to find myself in my script. I find it interesting that during the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised that you would receive power. He promised his disciples they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. And that happened at Pentecost. We're called Pentecostals because we believe that that is something that God wants to give to everyone that believes in him. So if you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill you and empower you. And that happened at Pentecost. And, you know, we're talking more about that next week. But one thing that happened at Pentecost was that disciples spoke in other tongues. And as Pentecostals, we kind of focus on that, about the speaking in tongues. But there's something that I believe that we miss, that God promised. Yes, God promised that he would send the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But Peter quotes this passage as the evidence. He quotes Joel 2. And this is what it actually says. You'll have it up there. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show you wonders. I will show you wonders. For a long, 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 long time ago, God promised that when he pours out his spirit, what goes along with that is dreams and visions. And through dreams and visions, he will show you wonders. That excites me. That really excites me. The one thing that he said, when the Spirit comes, there'll be this move of prophecy. And it doesn't matter if you're young, doesn't matter if you're old, doesn't matter if you're a man, doesn't matter if you're a woman. God wants to show you his wonders. And I was like, why have I never latched onto this before? That actually part of this heritage that we have is that God wants to communicate to us, show us wonders, give us dreams, give us visions. I'm going to sidestep a little bit to ask you guys, what is your bedtime routine? What is your bedtime routine? What's your bedtime routine? Just shout it out. We need the mic. Where's my runner? Thank you. You volunteered, and we love our volunteers. Round of applause for Tyler, please.
Before we go to bed, we read the Bible and pray, and Daddy prays over our heads.
Amen. Amen. A round of applause. That is... Thank you, Tyler. We'll hold there for a second. That is absolutely right. And that was what I had written down. Did you peek at my notes when you were up here? Because you guys were up here a second ago, right? Do you know? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really important. It was something that, as a child, I used to have night terrors. I was in a military boarding, so you would have heard this story before if you're in this church long enough. I was in the Nigerian military school, and we used to get beaten up and bullied and all that kind of stuff. And what happened to me is I began to have night terrors. It would be like there would be a presence in my room, and it would sit on me, and I couldn't breathe. And I could feel my consciousness draining away, and I'd be getting enveloped in darkness, and I'd be terrified. And I would be trying to scream. I'd be trying to speak. I'd be trying to call out the name Jesus. And I just couldn't. And it was terrifying. And then when I left the school, I used to have the same recurring nightmare where I'd be running through the jungle at night and there'll be leaves and trees and it's dark. And one of the guys that used to beat me up when I was a kid would be chasing me. And he'd be running after me. I'm terrified. My heart's pounding, and I'm running, and I'm trying to find my way. And I trip, and I can hear him come over me, and then I wake up. And I used to have that recurring nightmare. And I used to pray. I said, Lord, you need to do something for me. You need to release me from these nightmares. And I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd seek the Lord. And I went through a season where I would do just that. Before I went to bed, I would come before the Lord and said, I'd pray, I'd read my Bible to get my spirit and my mind in a place where I'm like, whatever this thing is, let me be tucked into the presence of God before I go to bed. My mind, and I'd have the same nightmare. I'm like, God, what is happening? What is happening? And one day, as I was praying, the Lord said to me, you need to stop running. He says, when you have that dream again, you need to stop, you need to turn around, and you need to say, stop. And I was like, but God, it's a dream. What do you mean when I have the dream, I should turn around and stop? I mean, it's a dream. I'm not in control of what's going on. I'm asleep or my mind's doing whatever. And I had the same nightmare. Terrified, I'm running. The guy's behind me is getting closer and closer. I'm in the jungle. It's dark. The leaves are whipping past me. I trip over the same log and he's over me. And I woke up. I'm like, God, you need to deliver me from this. And the Lord said it again. The next time you have that dream, you need to don't run, you need to turn around, and you need to tell him, stop. It's a dream. And I have the dream again. And I'm running through the forest, and he's chasing me, and it's dark, and there are leaves everywhere. And that log that I always trip is getting closer and closer and closer. And in my dream, I remember what the Lord said to me. And I stopped, and my heart's pounding, and I turn around, and I say to him, stop. And I said to him, why are you chasing me? And he said to me, I wanted to apologize, but you keep running away. He says, you keep running away. I just wanted to apologize to you. Till tomorrow, I have never had that dream. I've never had a night terror. I've been free from that for the last, 20-something years. But it was the Lord encountering me in the dream. And I make it my, before I go to bed, I will worship the Lord. Before I go to bed, I will read his word so that the last thing that's on my mind is his word. You understand? So that my spirit is in that place that I'm like, yep, Lord, I'm committing myself to you. I pray over my house and my children and all that kind of stuff. But it's important. It's important, even if it's just to honor the Lord, even if it's just to give us a good night's sleep. But there might be a chance. There might be a chance that God might want to encounter you when the noise of the day has faded away. Because all through Scripture, from beginning to end, whether old or young, whether men or women, he has spoken to people in their dreams. So I'd encourage you, before you go to bed, make it a habit. Make it a habit. The other side of this that I'm just going to touch on, and then we're going to wrap up. The Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Runner, I'm going to need you now. Young people, what would you like to be when you grow up? We've got hands at the back. What would you like to be when you grow up?
A doctor.
A doctor. That's amazing. That's a really good one.
A doctor.
A doctor. We need doctors. Anyone else? What would you like to be when you grow up?
I want to be... I want to sell flowers.
A florist, amen. Amen. That's a good one, a florist. Anyone else, what would you like to be when you grow up? A policeman. That's good.
A criminologist.
How do you spell criminologist? Criminologist. Is that the person that's behind bars? Anyway.
A teacher.
A teacher. That's very good. We've got some hands from the youth at the back. What would you like to be when you grow up?
Game designer.
A game designer. Fortnite's already taken. You'll have to think of something else. Anyone else?
A comicist.
Say that again.
Someone who makes manga books.
Ah, someone that makes manga books. Okay. We've got one at the back and then one at the front.
A footballer.
A footballer.
A footballer.
Another footballer. That's very good. We've got one last one at the front. One more.
A firefighter,
fireman. That's really good. All right, one for the adults. So, adults, how many of you became what you wanted to be when you were a child? Do you understand the question? So when you were a child, you wanted to be, how many of you now are that thing that you wanted to be when you were a kid? We have one, we have two, runner, yeah. So I want to find out, when you were a child, what did you want to be, and what are you now?
A pilot.
A pilot. So you're a pilot?
Private pilot.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's really good. You achieved it. You achieved it. Any others?
When I was 11, I wanted to be a lawyer, and that's what I became, but I'm now an entrepreneur.
Oh, wow. Round of applause. Well done. You achieved that dream. Someone else. We got one at the back.
I'm actually a doctor, but when I was a child, I wanted to be a teacher. So back home, I used to teach doctors. So
oh, yeah, wow. I achieved both. Oh, wow. So you kind of did it. No, that's, yeah. Praise God. Deborah?
I wanted to be a doctor, And my grandma used to proclaim that over me, and I became a doctor.
Amen. Amen. My parents used to proclaim over me that I'd become a doctor. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. You know what I mean? When I got my A-level grades, faith, you can stretch your faith so far, but after a while, it was like, yeah, Dad, I'm not sure they're going to take me with these grades, though. You know. But there's another side to when God says, I will give you dreams and you will dream dreams. You see, because God wants us to have healthy ambitions. God wants us to have godly dreams. God wants us to have secure hopes for the future. So he wants to give us hopes that will secure us a future. I used to dream of becoming a rock star. I started learning to play guitar, and I was like, I can be Jimi Hendrix. I went and got Jimi Hendrix music books, tried to grow my afro, and it was like, okay, if I can't be a doctor, next best thing, rock star. And again, I'm still learning the guitar. One day, maybe, you know. But what I began to find out was God began to stir something in my heart that began to overshadow my wanting to be a rock star, my wanting to be rich and famous. Something began to grow as I began to spend time worshiping him, spending time in his presence, spending time in his word. I began to find a love for his presence. I began to find that I just loved his word. I began to find that I loved his people. I began to find that I loved speaking to people about faith and about God and about what they believe. I began to have dreams that were different than what my friends were having. I began to have hopes and a dream for a future that was different from the people around me. So when people started having conversations about this and that, and I was daydreaming about different things. This verse says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, the dreams, the hopes that he will give you will be those that will align with him, align with his kingdom, align with his purpose. Now, that's not to say that you go to... My mom's a doctor, and my mom... That is very much the purpose that God made her for. And God put her where he put her specifically. Because there are so many people that came to my mom who were pregnant and didn't feel that they could see that pregnancy through to term, who didn't feel that they could care for a baby, who maybe didn't have the right family structure, who maybe didn't have the support, who wanted to keep it a secret because they were... And my mom said to me that every one of those people, she believed that God sent them to her. Because every single one of them that came to her, she was able to talk them out of doing what they wanted to do. And she would say that a year, 2 years, 3 years later, she would see a mom come to see her. They would have booked an appointment, not because of anything was wrong, but because they wanted to show, this is my child, this is my daughter, this is my son, this is the life that you saved. My mom got into so much trouble, the medical council, you know, there's a record, they were like, why are you not referring anybody? They're coming to your clinic, but you're not referring anybody. And she explained to them why she's not referring anybody. And then they started doing all kinds of stuff and this and that and trying to close her practice down. But she was like, this is what God has put me here for, to save lives. And that was the dream. That dream of becoming a doctor, that dream of working hard, it was a God dream. I will give you the dreams of your heart. I will give you the desires of your heart if you would delight myself. So one of the things, when you think of Pentecost, think about the hopes and the dreams that you carry. Now, I'm going to wrap up in a minute, and I will ask the band to come up. I have to talk about this before I finish, because as you live life, inevitably there are some hopes that you have. There are some dreams that you might have that you can't find them anymore. When you were younger, you might be hoping and dreaming about X, Y, and Z. But life has a way of squeezing you into a situation and having you run on a treadmill that you don't feel you can get off to begin to achieve those hopes and dreams. And sometimes as you start to get older, you begin to think that those opportunities are slipping away. And sometimes even the things that you might have invested in, It seems that every time you invest, something comes along to break it down. It might be a relationship that you're hoping that this would go somewhere. Every time you take one step forward, a cankerworm comes and breaks it down, and you find yourself two steps backwards. So that it becomes harder and harder to hold on to that hope that you had and hold on to that dream that you have. You see, this is what I love about what God says. He says, I will restore. You see, God is able to restore. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything that is too hard for God? There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. He says, I will restore to you. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Cankerworms attack trees and plants, and they eat the fruit before the fruit is able to ripen. So what will happen is, as like an apple tree, as the apples start to bud and blossom, the cankerworm will come and eat it so that it can't grow. So it's a situation in life that it's like you save, you save, you save, and then your car breaks down. You save, you save, you save, and then something happens, you got to spend. And you can't ever seem to get over the hurdle of saving enough because there's always a cankerworm that's eating. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or it might be your job or relationship. I will restore to you those years. God is able to restore those years. So I'm going to ask the band to come up because our time is up. And I want us to sing that song as a prayer. Because you might have hopes, you might have dreams. But as we sing that song to end our service, I just want you to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know my hopes and you know my dreams. Will you restore them? The joy that I used to have in hoping for this and enjoying this and dreaming, would you restore? You might be in a situation, like I said, I don't know if it's financial, I don't know if it's in your job, I don't know if it's relational, that you're like, Lord, I keep trying and I keep hoping for the best, but it seems like everything just breaks. I take one step forward and I'm three steps back. Can I still hope? The Lord says, I will restore. I will restore. I like how that ends. It says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. So what we do, as we sing this song, you take God's word and you stand on it as a platform. You come before his throne and say, Lord, I'm putting your word as a platform. You said, I will not be put to shame. My hopes and my dreams. So I'm going to stand on your word because your word is true. Because you said, I will eat plenty in the land and I will not put to shame. Lord God, you are the restorer of my soul, the restorer of my hopes, the restorer of my dreams. So as we sing this song, in your heart, be praying to the Lord.